Hey guys,
I'm Hallie
and I'm Jamie
and this is Literal Nonsense.
Hey you creepy little cuties.
What up?
It is our last, but is it really our last Halloween episode?
No.
Oh, we made a little bonus episode, but I don't know.
Shut up, Jamie. It's supposed to be a surprise.
Oh. Well, oops. Surprise.
Spoiler.
I don't know what it is. We don't know. When's it happening? I don't know. Be on your guard. whatever. So, today we are covering a classic horror.
Classic.
I don't know if I'd really consider these books horror. I think they're like more like gothic literature. Are they horrors?
I don't know. I mean, like, I guess for the time it was horror.
Okay, so
they just weren't, like, gory with it, I guess.
Right. Right.
But, like, it'd be
horror,
we're covering, 'cause I guess people die.
Yeah. Frankenstein by Mary Shelley.
Little Frankie.
Yeah, I get your point. Like, it's probably horror because there's, like, murder and, like, That was scandalous enough, you know?
Yeah, for the time period.
Right. Yeah, nowadays they're like, I ripped his organs out with my teeth. And you're like, oh, okay. None of that. None of that here.
Like, why was that like
my
your
first
example?
Thought?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think it just felt good.
Sure.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, here we go. Here's Frankenstein by Mary Shelley.
Boop, boop.
Yeah, so essentially, if you live under a rock, who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he.
I'm not gonna keep going. I could keep going.
I could too. Anyways, where to begin? Yeah, so if you don't know anything about Frankenstein, do you know anything? So essentially,
okay.
As I keep pushing off explaining,
you're like, "But do you fucking know?"
But do I know?
I don't.
So oh Frankenstein. Okay, so the book starts off with these letters.
Yes,
and it's this man, and he's corresponding to his sister, and he's talking about how this strange fellow had arrived on his boat in like. The North Sea.
Yeah, like Antarctica-ish? No, that's south. Like, North Pole-ish?
Yeah. Like, I guess by, like, Russia and Alaska? Siberia?
By Santa Claus, dare I say?
Yeah.
Santa Claus, where art thou?
Yeah, they're looking for the guy with the red
the big
suit
guy.
And the white beard. And he's saying... that he has to go because this man is now going to tell him his story, and hence the story of Frankenstein prevails. So, a common misconception that a lot of people don't realize is that Frankenstein is not the name of the monster.
Yes, good point, Hal-Gal.
Yeah, so Frankenstein is the name of the scientist who created the monster.
The Daemon.
Yeah, the Daemon. And he doesn't have
Daemon.
He doesn't have a name. Because he's just so atrocious that, like, how could you even name something that terrible? But essentially, we're walked through the story of Frankenstein's childhood. You know, he's got a mom and a dad, and he has a sister who he calls his cousin, but who's adopted. It's very convoluted. We can discuss more after I give a synopsis. And
yeah. Not his real sister is the key here.
Yeah, because things
no can, relation.
Things get a little incestual at that point. So, yes. Which I feel is very on par with the time, but that's besides the point.
For sure.
So, Frankenstein has always been fascinated by science and life and death and the natural law and physics.
A bit of an odd duck, shall we say.
I wouldn't say he's an odd duck. I mean,
that stuff fascinates me. Hello, Southern Belle? What the fuck? Okay.
Sorry, it was one of my other personalities speaking out.
What's her name? Anyways.
Savannah.
Perfect. I don't think he's an odd duck for liking it. I think he likes the darker parts of those things.
Okay. I just thought he was like a scientist in the pursuit of knowledge. That's how I view him. Anyways, so he, you know, studies all these ancient philosophers and people, and, you know, he talks about his time in school and then how he ended up basically deriving all these parts from humans and sewing together this creature because he wanted to create life. And, you know, I'm sure you've all seen, you know, the lightning strikes the electric antennas and it comes through the Gothic castle and fucking electrocutes this dead flesh, and then all of a sudden exactly
you're welcome.
So he does this, and as soon as he creates this creature, he has immediate regret because he's like, what the fuck did I just
do? He said, that's a fugly motherfucker.
Yeah. And
no,
he's obviously, you know, patchwork together, so he's not very cute.
Immediately averts his gaze. Did you avert the gaze? Did you watch Love on the Spectrum with us with that guy James?
Yes. Didn't you just talk about this the other day?
Did I?
Did you talk about this on the last pod?
I think I'm obsessed with this man, so maybe. I definitely did. Now that you say it.
Why do you always find a way to bring this man into discussion?
I love him. Like, I wanted to see him at the Renaissance Fair. Anyways, my point being was, if you didn't listen to any other episodes where I mentioned this frequently, James, in his words, would say...
James, if you're listening, Jamie's your biggest friend.
Right.
Friend? Fan? I can't speak English today.
He said, I want a woman where I would not feel the urge to avert my gaze. And I think that's the best thing anyone's ever said. In this case... Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, had to avert his gaze.
Yes. Proceed. So, yeah, and then he, like, hates this creature that he made, so he neglects it, and this creature is cast out, and and the creature is upset that
he's upset.
His creator is neglecting him and, you know, isn't willing to see him as a living thing, and, you know, want to... grab a beer and, you know, talk about life. So,
which I get it.
Yeah. So the creature ends up essentially like terrorizing Frankenstein for the rest of his life until he dies. Which
that's
I just
the book,
think
the
is
end.
Just like crazy. Frankenstein like ends up going back home because like his father was writing him, his sister/cousin/lover was writing him, and
Jesus.
He eventually ends up going back home because his brother is dead. His actual brother. And so he goes back home and they're trying to figure out why his brother died. And come to find out, you know, apparently I was also very confused by this part where, like, I guess it makes sense for the time, but, like, it's just crazy that they partook in this type of treatment. There was a family friend who was... what's that word called? Not a
suspected.
Suspected, but then she was, you know, chosen guilty for killing the brother.
Found guilty.
Oh yeah. I apologize. I really can't speak today. I was in school all day, so my head is like. Anyways, she's found guilty, and they fucking kill her in the town square. They just hang her.
They said, that's a bad thing. You shouldn't kill someone, so now we'll kill you.
Yeah, so then Frankenstein realizes that it wasn't her that did it. He was like, it had to be the daemon.
The daemon did it.
The daemon.
The daemon did
it. Daemon or demon? I don't pronounce these things. Anyways.
Daemon.
So.
I'm going to say like that the entire episode.
God. So, you know, long convoluted story short. I really love that word, convoluted. The creature. I like to call him the creature.
Daemon?
He tells Frankenstein that, like, oh, I'm going to be with you on the night of your wedding. And that's like a very profound statement to make because, you know, if anyone knows what goes down on the night of the wedding.
Ayo. Okay. He's like, you want to think about that? Think about me, Dr. Frankenstein.
I'll be there. So now Frankenstein's like fucking bugging out because he's like, he's coming for me and I need to find him first and I need to kill him because he's so diabolical.
And, I mean, okay, I have thoughts before we even continue with the fucking back and forth fuckery of this book.
Oh, right? I was just going to like tie it up real quick and then we could discuss.
Oh, sure. Great. Go for it. Never mind.
So proceed. Then, okay, so then Frankenstein like, you know, plows through the all the continents to get to this creature. And every time he's just like evaded by him. The creature, Victor Frankenstein, that's his full name. He does end up marrying his sister slash cousin slash something, whatever.
Playmate, and, whatever the fuck she is.
Yeah, and the creature kills her. And so then that's what prompts him to go on this escapade to find the creature and kill him. But every time he just gets so close, the creature somehow evades him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finally catches up to the demon and the demon tells him his life story. He's like, you know what? Fuck you. Now you're going to listen to what you did to me and why there's no hope for me and why I will kill everybody because in spite of you. He goes on this whole story about how he escaped and he found refuge in this. To me, it sounded like a chicken coop in Germany. And he's like,
it's like a, I almost imagine it like a little like farm stand shed thing.
Oh, I was thinking it was a chicken coop.
Yeah, I feel like either one is like very similar. Like he found okay. refuge in like a shack.
He found love shack. In a hopeless place.
Right.
Well, anyways, he's like fucking peeping Tom.
Well, but hold on. I also think it's important to mention like.
What?
The creature, the daemon. Yes, the
daemon.
In other words. He's a very intellectual being. Well, he is after he meets the family. But my point is in the movies, in whatever, you know, you always have this, like, grunting creature, demon, he's not putting words together, all this stuff, he's a murderer, all this stuff.
He's well-educated.
Yes, he's a well-educated daemon. And the point of why I want to say that is, you know, we'll go into a big philosophical chat, I'm sure. But, like, he's killing because, like, he's sad. He's a sad boy. He's just like, damn, because I'm so fugly, no one wants to be my friend. And so I'll just kill you instead.
Which is not a valid reason.
Yeah.
It's sad, but that's not a valid reason to kill people.
Oh, I don't know if I agree with that. Like, hold on.
Wait.
Not in my real life.
Okay, let's time out here. Jamie, take a break.
Well, okay. Well, so he meets this family. He wasn't educated. He's living in the chicken coop, hovel, shack, whatever he's living in. And he's like watching them and he's like, they're so wonderful and they're so beautiful. I love them. You know, he's like cutting wood for them. They're poor. He gradually learns the language. You know, he's saying this and I'm really, it's pulling on my fucking heartstrings, this poor creature. And, you know, the dad of this little family, there's a dad and two kids. The dad's blind. So eventually he's like, I'm going to tell him I want to be part of their family. Like, I can do this. And so he goes up to the blind dad. And he's like, hello, sir. I'm so ugly, but I want to be your friend. Like, please, I've been helping you. Like, you are the family in which I want to belong.
I have chosen you.
And the old man's like, oh, you poor little thing. I can't see you, but, you know, whatever. And then his kids walk in before the old man could say anything. And they scream. They pass out. Someone throws up. You know, whatever. It's like horrible. And they chase him away. And then the whole family moves because they're like, we're being tormented by a demon. And, you know, I can understand being really upset about that. That's my, I guess, you know. So, I guess the point is, I don't think, yes, perhaps the creature should not be killing Frankenstein's whole family and friend crew. That's not a good way to deal with your sadness. But when he tells him his story, and he says, like, you created me, you won't even look at me, talk to me. Everyone misunderstands me. No one wants to just hang out with me. Whatever.
It's giving pick me.
It is giving pick me, but at the same time, like he said, he's like, I wouldn't have been evil and killing people if like I just had one person.
I didn't know you felt so strongly about this daemon.
I do.
Interesting.
I don't know who I feel. So I think this is where, like, you know, classic books really just, you know, they put the time and energy into, like, your morals, you know? True. So we discussed with Stephen King. Like, you know, like, the really well-thought-out writers. Like, again, Pet Sematary, we just had this episode, and it was like, is dead better? And you're like, oh, fuck, what would, you know, if I watched my kid get fucking smashed by a truck, like, this is kind of a difficult situation we're in. I don't know. And you knew you could bring him back to life. Yeah, that's going to fuck with my morals. In this case, right, you create something, you make that your responsibility, and then you just wash your hands of it. I don't know. I don't agree with Dr. Frankenstein either.
I'm just thinking about, like, how when I was reading this book, and of course it's gonna, you know, this is gonna reference back to SpongeBob, but you know, in the SpongeBob movie.
What the fuck?
You know, in the SpongeBob movie when King Triton, like, has the brown paper bag on top of his head because he can't find his crown because he's bald. He's
bald, yeah.
And so, like, all the people are, like, in, like, he's, like, holding court or whatever, and, like, he, like, takes off the brown paper bag and everyone's like, bald, bald, bald. Like, that's how I imagine everyone reacts to Frankenstein's creature.
Well, like, and I get it. Like, listen, like, if this is, like, a legit corpse that's, like, fucking, you know, has all these crazy arms, think that his, like, lips are black, you know, like, this is not a good looking thing. I also can understand you being like, I'm gonna die, it's gonna kill me. But I don't know, like, basically, obviously, the whole synopsis, it's really just a battle. If you, like, really boil it down to, like, the core thing, it's just a battle of Frankenstein neglecting the monster, and he's upset with himself because he created this abomination that he should have never even done. Mm-hmm. And so he's dealing with that guilt. And he's like, oh, I created this bad creature who's going to kill people. And, like, he's so guilty. And then because he fears the creature that he built, he ignores it. Because he ignores the creature, the creature's pissed and then does kill people. And the more he kills people, Frankenstein resists him more. And it's like this never-ending spiral. And that's really what, if you boil the book down, that's what it is.
Hurt people, hurt people.
Right.
Well, anyway, so he tells a story. He tells a story. Let me just wrap it up. He tells a story, and So the creature tells Frankenstein his story while Frankenstein is retelling this to the guy on the ship. And the creature is like, I'm so lonely. You need to make me a mate because I deserve to have somebody just as equally ugly as I am to keep me company for the rest of my days. And Frankenstein's like, don't think so, buddy. And he was like, you will, or I'll kill you, or whatever. And then Frankenstein's like, he's like, okay, like, I'll do it, I'll do it. And he goes to, like, ends up actually making this next abomination, but then destroys it. And the creature is, you know, so upset. So, like, Frankenstein now is, like, running for his life, and then that's how he ends up on this boat telling a story, but he's, like, so shocked and, like, unable to process this traumatic life event that he ends up dying on the ship. And that was the end.
Well, because then his goal – well, and that's what I'm saying. It's, like, it's a never-ending angry thing, because now Frankenstein's chasing the monster to get revenge on the monster.
Yes.
That's why he's in the North Pole. I don't know where the fuck they are. It's the Arctic somewhere.
The Arctic.
And, like, and then, like, this monster, you know, can withstand cold, whatever. And so, it's again, that's what I'm saying. Like, the creature pleads to him, please make me a friend, a lover, whatever. Okay, bro. Like, I get it. We all want someone to love. And Frankenstein, you know, debates it. He doesn't do it, whatever. And then, you know, the killing rampage continues, you know. And then that's what I'm saying. It's like, again, hurt people, hurt people. Like, now he's upset that he doesn't have a friend, and then, well, so that conversation actually happens before he marries Elizabeth, which isn't, like, a huge deal, but
yeah,
the monster references, like, you won't make me someone, and, like, you dare think that you can be happy, like, I'll kill your wife. I mean, it's just like, what the fuck is going on here? I mean, I just, here's my thing. I don't think anyone should reanimate corpses and sew them together and make them live. You know, that's pretty self-explanatory. But I think if you're going to do that, like, you know, man up, Victor, grow a set of fucking balls, take accountability, be this thing's friend. It didn't start out aggressive. And then your whole family could have lived. I understand you're a weird, sick science man. Like, you fucked up. But, like, was this a better alternative? Your whole family's dead now. I don't know. Or, like, just make him his fucking creature. And then, you know, Victor Frankenstein's thought was, I make him a creature to be lovers with. What if she's, you know, he's not violent at heart. But what if she wakes up and she's just ready to kill everyone and they go kill everyone together? So, like, and then they have babies and the babies kill people. I mean, it was like a whole, like, spiral that he went through, which I get. I get both sides. Like, I also understand the creature. He's like, why the fuck did you create me? Just to run away from me and, like, make me feel like shit?
Well, you know, the first prototype is always a failure.
Well, this I would dare say was a big-time failure. I mean, I guess, like I said, I just feel for the monster because it's like... Damn. And I feel for Frankenstein, too, right? I would also be scared shitless. But then I also argue perhaps you should not have done this. If you're gonna do it, you gotta full send.
Sounds like this book, like, really hit you in your heart, Jamie.
It did. It's supposed to, no? Okay. The fuck? What happened when you read this book? Nothing.
Whereas I'm like, aw, and then that's it.
No. Oh, I thought we were going to have, like, a big moral debate talking about this book.
I mean, we can. For sure.
Okay.
You know, I love a good philosophical talk.
Yeah, let's get philosophical. It's classic literature. I mean, we can't just talk like a bunch of schmucks.
We have to we have to impress Miss Shelley. Well, okay, so actually after I read the book, mm-hmm. I was doing a little research because...
Oh, okay, cutie.
Because okay, so I was telling you this before. I really like gothic literature. Like, I have just found this newfound love for it. I don't know why. I think
why do you enjoy it? Okay, the way they talk?
The way they speak is just, like, so eloquent and, like, thought out, you know? And not only that, but the words in which they use to describe things makes everything seem so much more dramatic than it really is. But then when you're in reality, it, you know, life can be pretty dramatic, right?
Well, yeah.
So, you know, there were a lot of times when I was reading this book and, like, I was actually, like, laughing out loud because I was like, wow, like, the drama is crazy.
I don't know if I felt that way. You laughed out loud reading this book?
Yeah. There was a few lines. There was, like, a couple one-liners.
Did you save them? Because no. I have to... Oh, man.
I can go back, though.
Yeah, maybe you can go back.
And then we can do an addendum. But, yeah, like, I just remember there's many parts in this book where I'm just like, wow. Like, this is tea right here.
So, I agree. Very dramatic.
I also just like this time period. Like, I like the gothic time period. Like, I want to be in this cute city where, you know, it always rains and it's always overcast and there's, like, these crazy fucking castles with, like, the wrought iron fences and people are wearing top hats and, like, riding around their little buggies. Like, I'm obsessed. I love it.
Okay.
I mean, as a woman, I'd have no rights, but, like, aesthetic reasons, like, I like it.
Do I argue that we have tons of advantages in this world? I don't know. Okay, probably
not. We have more than what it would have been back then.
Hey, you know, not working. Sounding real nice right now.
I think that's just because we're all burnt out.
Amen. So, okay, cool. I do think the vibe is yes. I was going to say something about the movies we watched, but I'm going to save that.
I never even got to tell you my research.
Oh, my God. Well, you got so excited about – I was going to talk about the time period and, like, the vibes.
Anyways, no, this is, like, just, like, a little tidbit. But in the original copy of the book, Frankenstein's sister, lover, cousin, whatever her name is, Sarah, right? Or is it Elizabeth?
What is it's Elizabeth. That? Definitely not Sarah.
No.
It's for sure Elizabeth.
Anyways, Elizabeth, in the first copy, she's actually, like, not – so the story of how she comes into the family, right? So, like, Victor's mom and dad are, like, on a trip in Italy. No, they live in Italy, right? Didn't they live in Italy? I don't know.
They meet a family.
They're in Italy, and they meet, like, this poor family. And this poor family has taken in, like, all these orphans, essentially, and, like, they're taking care of them. There's, like, all these infants, right? And the mom is, like – falls in love with this little girl, and she was like, you know, she's living in squalor. Like, what quality of life is she going to have? She's going to be poor her whole life. Like, let's adopt her, essentially. So they take her home and they consider her his cousin. But mm-hmm. he's like her adopted sister. Yes. But they don't have any blood relation. But
none.
Whatever. But in the original, that's not how the story is. And now that I'm thinking about it, it's just poof, out of my head. It was right there.
Well, I don't know. You tell me what happened.
In my fucking hypothalamus, and now it's gone.
All right. Well, when you remember.
Or cranial lobe. Frontal cranial lobe.
No idea any of that. Anyways, when you remember, you let me know. As far as the vibes of the book, so I agree. I think a gothic literature, the vibe is set. It makes it inherently spooky. I think it adds, like, to the general, I don't know, just gloomy setting. So I agree. I also really agree in regards to the writing. Mm-hmm. I think it's well done. It's poetic. There's just more effort than there is now. Now, granted.
Wow, that's like a really harsh accusation to make.
Do you think?
I don't know. Like, do you really think a lot of people don't? Do you feel like the majority of authors don't?
Make effort?
Yeah. Or do you think they just suck? Like, maybe they just shouldn't
write. Maybe. I don't know if I feel like they shouldn't write. I just think a lot of people, going back to our previous conversations, really lean into, let me write a page turner, a crazy plot twist.
That's what it was. In the original, they're actually related. I forgot. Yeah.
Good job for changing that, Mary. Thank you, Queen.
They're cousins.
Okay.
Well, like, actual cousins.
Checks out for this time period. So I'm glad she changed that.
Well,
someone changed it.
His parents are related, right?
Yeah.
No. There's a giant age gap between them because his mom.
Yes.
Like, her dad was best friends with her now husband. And, yes. Like, they were, like, in school together.
That's so common back then.
So he was like, don't worry. It was common.
No, but, like, again, going off the time period. But I don't know. I just think nowadays, again, I'm not saying that, like, the books we read aren't good. I just think, again, it's like, I find older books have more of these moral dilemmas, this beautiful, like, prose and writing.
Like, there's more now, soul. You think there's more, like, soul?
Yes, I do.
Whereas now it's, like, more, like, for entertainment purposes.
Correct. And, like, page-turning, like, shock factor.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this book, and, like, I'll talk about it more, I really enjoyed this book. I feel like, again, I thought about it. I had, like, moral thoughts about the creature and Dr. Frankenstein. It read slow for me, but I didn't mind that. Like, mm-hmm. But it wasn't a book that I was like, I can't get back to it. Like, I've also read it before, which maybe added to it because I know the general story. And I think the story was super well done. I don't think there was, like, any slow parts. I think, you know, the progression of Dr. Frankenstein's journey, how the monster met back up with him and told him, like, his story, the quest for revenge, and on both ends, I think it was, like, you know, I wouldn't take out, add whatever, anything to it. I think it was a super well done, no plot hole, concise, fucking good, well written story, which is obviously why it's a classic, right? I do think it reads slow for me personally. I think it has to do with the language. I think if we were fucking born back then, I would read this shit like in a sitting, because I would be like, oh, I know what she's saying.
It's like almost like reading like old English.
Yeah, it is, you know? It is. Which, again, I appreciate for the language. Hey. No, literally. That's why Damon is spelled like that. Damon! You're like Tourette's. And so, yeah, I like this book a lot, but it's like, what are you in the mood for? Are you in the mood for a fucking moral debacle? Hmm. Or are you in the mood for a page-turner? And, like, you know, I think our conversation now is going to be way different than, like, our Hidden Pictures conversation, because we were like, holy fuck, Ted! Fucking murder, ghost, whatever. Whereas this, I'm like, all right, you know, kind of, whose side are you on? When you read this book, who did you feel more for?
Damn. She said that.
Yeah, no, I'm asking you, so I want you to answer.
Oh, this is like a real question.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm curious because I have certain opinions, and I'm curious as a fellow reader what you felt.
Okay, so off the bat.
Right off the cusp.
I think, and not to like preface with like a disclaimer, but like, you know, being that it's this time, we can factor that in to why the characters act the way they do. But I feel just opening, like, the beginning of the book, right? The letters to the sister, the guy on the ship. Like,
he's the captain? I think he's the captain.
I don't know. But he's, like, very holier than thou. And he's, like, you know, like, what I deserve. And what, you know, this is right. And da-da-da. Like, going on about, like, his life to his sister. And then about the guy on the ship. But, like, I feel like that's a quality that I also see in Victor Frankenstein in the beginning. Right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, obviously, I feel like a lot of well-educated people are sometimes the most ignorant, but which is a paradox in and of itself.
Probably entitled as well, which adds to an ignorant vibe, I would say.
Yeah, not saying like they're actually ignorant, but like that.
No, but I think entitlement quality, can sometimes, you know what I mean, come off as ignorance.
Yeah, like I'm better than you thing. Like, what is
right,
that called?
Right, yeah. Well, entitlement.
No, there's another word. Like stuck up, like what is that called?
Douchebag.
Whatever. Anyways, no, that's
yeah,
besides the
I
point.
Can. Yeah. Yes.
You know, and I think a lot of that is what drives Victor Frankenstein in the beginning, because he wants to be successful and he wants to do this right. And he wants to figure it out, right?
Right. Right.
And once he creates the creature and he realizes, he was like, oh shit, like this was not the wave, guys, I should not have done this. I think he ends up feeling a lot of shame. And I think that's where it starts to conflict his own morals, because he's searching for, in the beginning, like it says that he's searching for, you know, this whole life and death thing. Like, what creates life? How can you create life, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Almost like playing into like the hands of God kind of thing.
Right.
And having that God complex. And I think, you know, it's a human thing to know when you did something like inherently wrong, right? And I think that kind of overtakes him, and I think he's surprised by how much he's affected by this, you know, creation. Mm-hmm. That, you know, he starts to feel very shameful and regretful, and he's at like a war within himself, and that's why he ends up isolating himself from everybody. That's why his dad keeps sending him letters. That's why Elizabeth keeps sending him letters, and he's not answering them because he feels, you know, like the worst person alive.
And so listen, and that's where I feel for Victor Frankenstein. I understand that at some point he like feels shame, and he's like, you know, again, you inherently as a human being know right from wrong. And this was wrong. This was, you shouldn't have done this. But then I go on the other end and I say, but you did do this. And so now you can't wash your hands and say, I shouldn't have done this. I need to avoid it. You need to acknowledge this and confront this and take ownership. You did do this.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Right. And so I struggle. Do I see that side of it? Absolutely. And I do feel empathy for Frankenstein because of that. My inherent reaction, though, is that Frankenstein's a whiny bitch and he needs to be like a man and say, yes, I did create this. This was not a good mistake. Even, okay, like,
can I'm you also say that about the creature, though?
I don't know.
The creature also sounds like a whiny bitch.
I think the creature's hurt goes deeper.
Interesting.
In my opinion, because, again, your creator made you,
but
took
is that
no
an
responsibility
excuse?
For you, and then said, you know what, fuck it, go be alone. You know, I know the world's not going to treat you kindly, but and here's, I guess, my stance, too.
Okay. I mean, a lot of people can make that comment about, you know, this proverbial God.
Yes.
But we're not going to go into religion, so let's not go there.
Well, I guess here's, I guess, where I'm... We don't need to go into like religion, but we can go into the playing God thing, right? Mm-hmm. I argue that Victor Frankenstein was playing God by creating and playing with life and death in this way.
Mm-hmm. But and do you think he realized that when he was doing it?
No, I don't. I don't think he realized that when he was doing it. But
he just
I
got
think
caught up.
This, he did get caught. He got caught up. And here's my thing with that. I just think if then he realized it was a mistake, do I think that, you know, you should fucking kill this thing? I don't think that's great either. But I think that's
sometimes
better and a
better.
Mercy, right? Yes. I'm serious, though. Sometimes that mercy would have been better. Also, at that point, the creature didn't have intellect. It would have had no idea. You know what I'm saying? Dead would have been better, because if you weren't going to take ownership, then you need to clean up your mess. That's how I feel. So yeah. Do I think, you know, the creature did everything, you know, perfectly? No, not at all. But I think being thrown into the world, your creator leaves you, and now you're being shunned, and you literally don't even have one single person you can confide in, including the person who created you. The loathing goes so deep that even they're avoiding you. I think that emotion, again, we're talking about a basic creature who's learning intellect. They don't have emotional intelligence. Yeah, I'm not surprised that it lashed down, fucking murdered people.
But what tickles my brain is, like, why kill people? Like, why did he know, like, that would be, like, the most extreme thing that he could do to, like, get a reaction?
Well, I don't know in that sense, you know, like, I mean, how he came to that conclusion. Like,
he could have just been an arsonist, you know? Like, fuck you, well, you're not gonna, you know, be there for me. I'm gonna set your house on fire instead.
No, and I agree with that. But, no, I think the point of it, like, the deeper, I don't know how the creature learned this. You know, I can't talk to that point. But the creature wanted Frankenstein to be as alone as he was. Mm. I'll kill your entire family.
Yeah, I guess it's also like a play on like the two ends of the spectrum, right? On one end you have life and one end you have death.
Right. And I guess that's where I really got hung up. Because again, do I understand that he was like, oh my God, I shouldn't have done this. You know, this inherent wrongness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I understand that. But then you need to either, again, man up and say, okay, I'll hang out with my ugly creation. Or you say, I literally can't look at it. I need to kill it. Because again, then he also had a lot of guilt in regards to letting this creature out in the world. Well, so why did you let it out in the world? Kill it. Destroy it. You know what I'm saying? I think.
But that, by that time, he was already gone.
I know, but I think Victor Frankenstein was more wrong in this situation.
Hmm.
But you think the other way. I'm getting a sense. Or do you? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't really feel like one is more wrong than the other. I think they're both equally wrong. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, yes, should have Victor Frankenstein dealt with his issue if he did not like it? Yes. You know, we're all responsible for our actions.
Right.
But did this creature, like, have to throw himself a pity party and went on a killing rampage? Like, I get you wanted to hurt him in the most foul way you could, because you feel that your hurt is equal to that hurt. But I don't know.
And believe me, I don't think going fucking tit for tat is a mature way to deal with things. I would argue both these men, for lack of a better term, are not mature, like, in any sense of the word.
True.
I just think, again, like, you know, even after he created the monster, before the monster killed anything, you know, Victor's sitting there. Oh, my God, I saw such ugliness. I could never see beauty again. And I'm like, all right, bro, like, you were also handling dead body parts for months at a time. Like,
okay, well, this is what I'm saying.
Think about that.
It's so dramatic. Is this not so dramatic?
Yes, but he irritates me a little. And again, do I understand, like, his side? Yes, but my, like, gut punch reaction is to be annoyed by him. And I feel – and my gut punch reaction is to feel bad for the creature, especially with the family. Like, if it wasn't for the family –
that was crazy. That's probably, like, the saddest part of the book, truly.
Well, right. And okay, so I'm glad that you felt it was sad as well, because I mean it was, I guess, which is probably just a general human emotion.
You know, it's like, how many times do you keep reaching out your hand?
Yes.
Until it falls off, right? Or they chop it off. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know if that's the saying, but whatever, yeah.
You know the saying. Everyone knows the saying. Everyone gets it.
Yeah, we know. Are we making it spooky for Halloween? You know? yeah, and I think that, but I almost think that was needed in this book, or else you wouldn't have had sympathy for the creature. In any level, even if you don't feel the most sympathy for the creature, you know, he was like, you know what, fuck my creator. I'm gonna, you know, power through. And he wasn't accepted.
Can we just, like, spend a moment talking about this crazy story of the family, first off?
Yeah, because like they're, like, not related to the overall story or message, but, like, they made the story crazy for no reason. Yes,
like, they have, like, an insane plot.
Yeah, we could talk about their plot. Again, it's, like, it's funny because it really, if their plot was basic as fuck, it wouldn't have added or taken away from the story. So I'm not really sure why she made it so involved.
Like, we got, like, two stories in one.
Yeah, we did. I enjoyed it. It was, like, a little, like side quest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you wanna, so the dad was in prison, right?
Yeah.
And the brother was, like, trying to get him out, and he met this, like, Arabian, was that right? What was her name?
I think that name started with an S.
I think it did, too.
So maybe that's why I'm confused, I was confused before.
So he meets this, like, lady. And they fall in love, and basically they, like, he's trying to plea on his father's behalf, and then some crazy shit happens.
It's her father is the reason why his father is in prison.
Yes, and but the son because falls in love with her.
Yeah, there was, like, a deal gone bad or something like that, and, yes. like, that dad, like, took the fall and ended up in prison, whereas and the other guy got free.
Yes.
And so, like, they had to escape. And
yeah, they escaped prison because he tried to plea on his behalf. It wasn't going to work. They were going to, like, execute, hang, whatever. You know how back then everyone just fucking got hung.
Yeah.
And then they escaped. And so now they're super poor, obviously, because they, like, were stripped of all their titles. And so they're living in this shack. And that's why, you know, they all look very sad because they're very poor and yada yada. And the sister,
the Arabian brother, sat at the feet of the old man.
Yes, I told you it was an Arabian.
But do you also think, like, during that time, like, that was, like, ooh, like, what's there? Like, there's, like, that alert. Like
it's exotic. No
one, yeah.
Yeah. I do think that she was, like, an exotic. Saffy. Saffy.
Yeah.
I was going to say Sophie, but I knew that was, like, not right. But, okay, I was very close. And so, yeah, so then they're sad, whatever. They escape. And that's what the monster's watching, like, you know, these two young children, you know, teenagers, whatever. Taking care of their blind father, and he's learning, like, compassion and love. He learns English. And then the fucking Arabian comes and finds love with the son again. And now he's happy.
Yeah, she, like, comes in, like, so random.
But, yeah, again, so is this perhaps important? I don't know, perhaps not. But, wow, what a whirlwind for these crew.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder if there's a meaning for that. Like, I feel as though reading this book as the average reader, I feel like I understood the main message of, like, the moral of revenge and you know, inherently right and wrong and kind of, like, this, like, shunned being, you know? I wonder if there's a reason for them to have that backstory.
We'd have to get back to that one.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think this book, yeah, it's a weird story. I'm also curious how, like, pop culture has made it so different. Like, in the sense that the monster is, like, because a main part of this book is, like, how intellectual and how much the creature mm-hmm. feels.
And so how do we get,
right, and also, like, just, like, the feeling of being isolated and alone and unloved. And so how the fuck did we get to this grunting green thing?
So do you think the reason why the creature has, like, this level of emotional capacity, I guess, is from the family? And so do you think that's why she added that part in to, you know, to, like, kind of source out, like, where he realized his values and whatever.
So I think that's a really interesting question that's, like, making my, like, brain cogs begin to turn. I think that's an interesting question just because, yes, I think on one hand he learned, like, true family values. And also that's how he got, like, aware of the language and, mm-hmm. and education and stuff like that. But on the other hand, I think at that point he had already killed Victor Frankenstein's younger brother
mm-hmm.
and was, like, on the run. And so I also think he already had this, like, emptiness and, like, anger in him. And I think going off that point, I think he learned more emotional connection from the family and wanted it even more. Yes. But I think also part of this book and what the point was that one of the first things we want as, like, living beings is like connection. Like mm-hmm. he craved that, like right off the get. And like by his creator not caring for mm-hmm. him, he was angry. And like, I think as human beings, like the point, one of the points of the book is we just need connection to anything. And that's what he even said, like, create something like me who also won't be loved. Like, we'll have each other. Like, I just need one person to, like, be in my corner. Because, again, being completely isolated, I argue it's, like, one of the worst punishments, things for your mental health, whatever. So, and it's, like, also one of our most basic needs.
So what do you think – so this feeling of, like – needing to be nurtured or like in connection with someone else, so you're like saying that's like inherent, that's an inherent part of being a human.
I think so. And I think, yeah, I believe that personally, but I think that is also being said in the book, because again, you're patchworking this fucking body parts together, whatever, and that's one of the first things that it wants and mm-hmm. it's upset about, is that his creator didn't want him and no one wants him.
But what do you think that means? Like, do you think you could broaden that more to the idea that, you know, it's not just inherent to human beings, but just to creation and life?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, think about, I mean, you know, dumb fucking analogy because we're both like cat people, but even think of like our cats, you know what I'm mm-hmm. like, I think things just thrive with other beings. I think even like in the animal kingdom, like these like fucking nature documentaries, right? Like the lone, you know, what's it? I'm thinking Game of Thrones now. You know, the lone wolf dies, but the pack survives kind of thing. I mean, I think that's also just, even in actual real world, like an animal by itself, whether or not they're having an emotional connection or not, they're also just less likely to live and thrive. Mm. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think about, like, that whole, the kind of, like, nature versus nurture debate. Mm-hmm. You know, like, do we, is it something that's inherent in us?
Yeah.
Nature. Or mm-hmm. do we learn these things based off of our relation with others like us?
So, yeah. And I, again, personally, I agree. I think there's probably a heavy dose of both.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think this book is showing us like the inherent need to fit in is like nature. Mm-hmm. And I think if he was given that nurturing, so like given a community or even one single connection, I truthfully don't think the monster would have killed people if it had a relationship mm-hmm. with one other person.
Yeah. I mean, you said a lot of things. Like all of this can be a plea for like, you know, this need to fit in. Like, what do you think the story, like, what was she trying to say in regards to fitting in and having a community in order to thrive?
Well, and I think, you know, that's even her point in my mind, like, with, like, Dr. Frankenstein. Like, the monster knew the worst thing to hurt him would be killing everyone he had connections with. Mm-hmm. Even his friend Henry. Like, he was like, I don't care about your family. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll kill everyone you love. Whatever. But I'm sensing, like, at that point, you know, Dr. Frankenstein could have been, like, wealthy and doing whatever, but, like, he couldn't even function with the knowledge that, like, his family was dead.
Hmm.
You know, like, he was a fine, healthy, normal-looking guy. He probably could have just moved on, got married, got a job. But he didn't because he was, like, devastated about his family and friends, which, of course, he would be. But I think, again, like, yeah, like, I think one of the most basic things is, like, just having some kind of community, tribe, one connection. Like I said, you see all these fucking people who make mad money, were wealthy, whatever, and they're miserable. I think that goes to that point, too. So I think she was saying that. I don't know how she came up with this fucking story.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do you think, like, that's just, like a takeaway from the book?
I would think
so. Is it a plot device? You know what I mean?
I think that's the takeaway. I think the takeaway is just this inherent need to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, revenge or, like, you know, again, like, being hurt and, like, lashing out. I took, like, those kinds of three overarching themes. So did you feel like there was other takeaways, though? Like, if those, like, I got that from the book, but, like, what did you take away as the overall, I guess, messages? Because she wrote this clearly. It's a fiction. It's a horror. Okay. But she very clearly was sending a message.
No, and yeah, I agree with your takeaways. I'm just saying, like, I was just asking, like, was that another, like, takeaway that you got? You know, like,
I don't know. I think those were my main, I think, yes, that was one of them. Because
it kind of touches on, like, a lot of different aspects of being a person.
Yeah.
Dealing with emotions, just you know, the intellect, human condition. Physical. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. No, I think those were my three main ones. Was the main ones were, you know, the need to be accepted and then just the way that you're treated, like, you know, emotionally, how it affects you, and like the need for revenge. And like, again, they just spiraled, the two of them. Mm-hmm. They never broke it based on this need to fit in. I think those were my overall like thoughts on the book. Mm-hmm. But like, what did you take? Was that your automatic takeaway, or did you have another one that you like closed the book and felt like you got?
I also kind of felt like it was almost like not like to be like, oh, nice to your local weirdo. You know what I mean? But like, you know what I mean? Like, you should just be kind to everybody because you never know.
Well, right. And like, I think that was, yeah, I agree with that actually, because even with this, the creature, like, he was ugly as shit. Okay. He was like terrifying, you know, again, like dead, like he's a dead creature. But like talking to him, he was like, I just wanted to chop some wood for you and be nice. And like, I just want a friend.
Like, don't judge a book by its cover kind of thing.
And this is like clearly the extreme. This is legit a walking corpse.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I think, you know, don't judge exactly people based on their looks, et cetera, et cetera. Again, she went real balls to the walls with that message, but effective.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if you think about it too, like, okay, so as you said, the creature is literally a walking mass of dead flesh. Mm-hmm. But what about in Pet Sematary? And Gage is literally a toddlering sack of flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But they both kill.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and also I think in Gage's case, right?
Like
he looked cute. They were like, oh, we'll keep him. And it's like, no, he's a murdering demon child.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't, just because it's, yeah, in that case, right, they brought it back to life because it looked like their son. Again, judging this, that, oh, it's going to be fine because it's our son. Mm-hmm. It's not your fucking son. We're not judging, that was judging the book the wrong way.
Yeah.
We judged the book very wrong. It was like a happy picture with like fucking satanic rituals inside.
Yeah, right.
This book is like a beat up copy and it's like a nice little sunflower, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think also it just packs a punch for a small little book like this.
No, yeah, that's what I think is also what's
well not done.
Unique, but like,
for like back
gives it more of a, like a standing, I would say.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, it's going critiquing now. It's like you don't need I feel like every book we read is at least 300, 400 pages, easy, always. Mm-hmm. Again, I think you can say a lot in little words, and I think that's really comes across in classics. More than now.
It's just, I think it's just an effect of being a good writer.
Right. And yeah.
And knowing how to be concise with your words and, you know, pack the most punch with one word kind of thing, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And so, well, going off the point of how he felt about the book in general, what did you rate this book?
I actually did give it 5 stars.
Did you?
I read Frankenstein last year.
Really?
I read Frankenstein last year, and I really liked it. I just, like, for all the reasons that I said before, and I just felt like it was right. I read it at a good time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I reread it this time, I was thinking about knocking it down to a 4 or 5, but I was like, nah, I'll just keep it at 5.
Mm. Now you're swaying me, I think, which is bad. First I read it. I gave it a 4-star.
Okay.
Now it depends. I feel like for me, this is where I fucking struggle, because then this time, because it was a slow read for me and I was like, you know, I had to really like put my mind and energy into it, I gave it a 3, but I really think it's a true 4 for me. But hold on. I do. I think it's a true 4 for me. I'm talking through it. You know, I got to talk through my feelings.
Yes, yeah.
And that's because even though it's a slow read, I clearly took a lot out of it. I don't know if I'd give it a 5-star, because I think for me, it has to evoke emotion and be an not easy read, but like, I want to pick it back up.
Okay.
So then I gave it the 3 just because of the slow read aspect this time. But I do think for me it's a true 4 because I think it's a great story. The writing's great. I think for me the 1 star gets docked down because it's a slow read that I don't necessarily want to rush and pick back up.
Hmm.
I think I was only thinking of that aspect when I gave it a 3 star and not so much considering like the conversation we just had. I think this conversation and like how much it actually made me think, I remembered that from this conversation. And so I think I will give it a true 4 star.
Hmm. Okay.
So I'm glad we talked through that.
Go team go.
So yeah, I mean, I think this was a good like way to end off our little Halloween extravaganza.
For sure. Yeah. There was a nice little nightcap.
Yeah, no, it was. It was. So I was going to start saying what to expect next from us, but I don't know. Am I allowed to? Like, no.
Well, why would you?
Just say, like, the next episode, like, hunting?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, we can talk about that for a second. So we'll definitely dive more into this discussion when we do this episode. But the next book we're covering is Hunting Adeline. I have many thoughts on even why we're doing this. Long story short. Or, like, short,
what we're expecting.
I don't even want to say that. I have no idea. I expect nothing but horrid, horrid things. Basically, like, a little tiny spoiler alert, which I will have many more thoughts on this conversation. You guys are sick little freaks, and, like, for some reason, that episode has done extremely well, and so we feel obligated to read the sequel, and I'm upset with you guys. Like,
I mean, like, this conversation happened literally was, like, Jamie was, like, I don't understand how this is one of the best episodes we have, like, most views.
And now it's on, like, all platforms. Like, I don't understand you guys.
Yeah.
I'm upset. I'm disappointed. So, regardless, you guys really, really liked Haunting Adeline. So, yes, we will be cover Hunting Adeline. I'm already angry with you guys. I don't really want to talk to you.
It's not really their fault, though, if you think
about it. It is their fault. It's okay. I still love you guys, but I'm a little upset. And, you know, I think I'll have even more to say about that next episode because I'm sure it's going to just be even worse. It's going to be worse. I opened the book already to, like, start getting ahead.
Uh-huh.
And the claiming, the, you know, fucking warning is, like, this book is worse than the first. I was like, are you fucking me? Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Anyways, so we'll chat. We'll see you guys for that episode. Can't wait.
Alrighty. Well, thanks for tuning in, and
so excited.
All right, calm down, and we'll see you next week.
I think we're back to 2 weeks now. I think Halloween we just kind of went crazy.
Yeah. True.
We said we were doing every other week, and then Halloween hit, and we were like, JK.
Yeah.
So we'll see you guys in 2 weeks for Hunting Adeline.
Yes, we'll see you there. Ruby Square.
Right. Bye, guys.
All right. Bye.